A woman had 10 valuable silver coins, and she lost one. So she lit a lamp, and she took it to every corner of the house, and she swept with a broom every rook and cranny. She kept doing that until she found it. When she found it, she called all her friends and neighbors to rejoice with her. Let me tell you, in the same way there is joy in the presence of the angels of God when one sinner repents. There is joy in the presence of God when one sinner repents. One coin was lost. Angels rejoice when one person comes to know Jesus. One boy and one girl will rejoice in a few weeks' time when they receive that shoebox. It's all about one. It's about personal. We have a God who is God involved in our personal lives. As well as individuals, he also obviously is involved in cooperative. But God wants more and more to be involved in people's lives. And that's why I called you this morning. We are going to get ourselves involved in a child's life for a few moments as she opens that box. And we'll never know the joy, the real deep joy of that person. We'll never know it. And that's okay, isn't it? That's okay. The joy I have is knowing that someone is going to be blessed. And that will be my joy. And the angels get carried away when someone comes to know Jesus. This woman got carried away when she found a coin and she threw a party. You have to realize, do you understand the story? Because the party cost more than the coin that she lost. Unless she was a bit of a whinger and she didn't, everybody had to bring their own food. I've been to one of them parties, bring a bottle and some own food. I thought, yeah, this is some party, isn't it? Yeah. But the point is that God is interested. We all need to understand this morning, individuality is what God is after. God is building a church, but he's building a church of individual people. And here's this lovely lady, and she's lost a coin. You see, everything is given a value. Everything is given a value on how much it's worth. For instance, how much do you think that pencil is worth? I had a card, an invitation, a lovely invitation, and there was a pencil inside. Okay? You see, now I don't know how much that pencil cost, but the value really will depend upon how much I think of that pencil, won't it? No, seriously, won't it? I can think, wow, I know who sent this, and believe me, they wouldn't give anything away, so this pencil must be worth a fortune. You know what I'm saying? Oh, you could say, oh, this is just a cheap thing. It's entirely up to you. I'm taking the first one. Okay, but what I'm saying is, generally, it's about 10p, isn't it? Yeah. What about the next one? But how much seriously do you think that 4-bedroom house is worth? Yeah. Actually, it's not, because it's in Birmingham and it's worth £345,000. So basically, Janet, loose change for you. Okay, so basically, Janet could afford that. What about the next one? This is more up Jane Thomas's rights market, because this is worth £200 million. Dream on, Edward. Dream on. Wow. I'm not going to tell you what it has. It would take us forever. Yeah? But you see, the question is this. That's three questions I want you to answer this morning very truthfully. Amazing. How much are you worth? How much is she worth? What value does Maisie put on herself? But more important, what does Maisie think God puts on the value on her? You see, after being married for 30 years, a wife asked her husband, described her value. And he looked at her for a while and he said, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K. She said, what does that mean? He said, A, you're adorable. B, you're beautiful. C, you're cute. D, you're delightful. E, you're elegant. F, you're foxy. Don't know what that means. G, you're gorgeous. H, you're hot. She smiled. And she said, oh, that's lovely, darling. But what about IJK? Oh, he said, I'm just kidding. Listen, it's my anniversary tomorrow, loves. A, you're adorable. B. Yeah. 24 years tomorrow. Listen. I hope that's for me because she's had the best bit. I'm the one that's... Get used to this, Peter. I'm telling you now. It'll cost you a fortune. E, you're expensible. Anyway, the question is, how much are you worth? Can I ask you, how much are you worth? Because seriously, we live in a world where teenagers are self-harming themselves because they don't believe they're worth anything. It's a sad world we live in. People have no self-esteem now because other people tell them they're not good enough, or they're thick, or they're stupid, or they're ugly, or they're this, or they're that. But I want to tell you how God thinks they are. God thinks they are the most precious people on earth because God created them in the likeness of his own image. God loves them. We need to get a message across that no one is ugly. No one is stupid. No one is of less value. Because God made you the way he made you, Liesl. And he threw the mask away. And we're not joking. He threw the mask away. He said, I want no more to look like Liesl. In all seriousness, I'm created in God's image. I didn't transcend from those things that jump up in trees. I'm sorry, I didn't. I believe in the beginning God created man in the likeness of his own image. And I believe I carry God's DNA. I believe it's marred because of my life and the way that I live my life. But that doesn't reflect I still have the image of God. You see, I want you to take a look at this next one. How much do you think that... I've looked at that, and if anybody can tell me what they find looking at that, I have not got a Scooby-Doo. It's by Picasso. Seriously. But on May the 4th, that went for $116.5 million. Look at it. I can get a brush and do that. I'm sorry, I don't see anything in that. Could you look at that all day? Eh? $106.5 million. That only went for $104 million. Someone thought it was worth paying. To someone, that's art, apparently. But to the lady in our story, she had 10 coins, she lost one coin, and that to her was her value. This one coin was her value, wasn't it? But I was in the Salvation Army because Avril was the treasurer. And we were just courting, and I should have realised at that stage God was speaking to me, God was calling me. Because the event of the story is this, Avril was counting the money. This is true. There was a penny missing. So I generously got my... and gave her the penny. She generously put it back in my pocket. She says, that's not good enough. We need to find it. Underneath chairs, underneath tables. We searched and we searched and we searched till we found... wasn't going to give it up. Wasn't going to cook the books. Wasn't even going to allow me to put the penny in. We had to find the penny. Was to have all that was so important, was so valid that the right amount was going. And it's true. But you see, this one shoebox is just the same value, isn't it? And I know they get expensive to do. But the joy that we are saying is God the Father thinks you are value. Some of them are living in cramped conditions, vile, horrible conditions. And then somebody goes up and says, God loves you. Open that box. God loves you. And we need to understand that when we open the Bible, it's full of God's love for us. God loves us. Open up the Bible. Open up His Word. For God so loved the that He gave us His only Son. God loves us. And so the question we go back to again is, how much are you worth? What value do I put on myself? How does God see me? And self-righteous people of His day, they looked down on Jesus. They refused to accept the love that God had for them because it didn't walk with them. And God will say to us this morning, God loves us. And I know it's amazingly what He wants us to do with our lives. He wants us to surrender our life. And some people will not come to that point in life where they just want to surrender their life. It doesn't walk according to their plans. But God said, I want you to hear this illustration. If you religious people won't hear me, listen to what I've got to say, crowd. There's a woman who had one coin. And that was so, so valuable. There was a father who had a son who was lost, and he was so, so valuable. And God is saying, listen, you are so valuable. That's the value you need to put on yourself, that God loves you. If nobody else loves you, God loves you. That's your value. That is the question. How much are you worth? I'm worth the love of God. And I don't know what price you can put on that. I think it's more than the Picasso painting, or hopefully. It's more than that stick. It's a man on a stick, apparently, like they call that thing. God's love is the most valuable love you can have. Because one, it's unconditional. I've done nothing to deserve it. You see, somebody had to pay $100 million for that Picasso. Didn't they? Heaven knows how much it cost them to insure it. And then they'd probably have to lock it away somewhere. I wouldn't be able to look at it because it's so, in case it got pinched. But God says, I love you, Edward. You don't have to give me $100 million. You've just got to believe that I sent Jesus to die for you. This little girl or boy who gets this will never, never know me. But she'll know the love that I have for her. Why? Because it's demonstrated in this shoebox. We'll never know the love of God until you allow God to demonstrate His love by opening up the shoebox. People say, I can't understand God's love. I said, you can't understand it because you won't experience it. You have to experience God's love. You've got to say, not just in your mind, God loves me and God sent His Son for me. You've got to experience it in your heart. So what value do I put on myself? I can only put the value that God has put upon me. That He loves me unconditionally and He loves me unending. There'll never be a day God won't stop loving me. Even when He sees the practices that I get up to sometimes. God still loves me. God loves you in the present state you're in. How much value can you put on that? God loves me. You see, I don't know because I haven't been, fortunately, but for the grace of God. But apparently if you have a criminal record, it's very difficult to get a passport and fly into another country. I believe so, as I say, I don't. All I'm saying to you is this. I've got my passport from Jesus. Jesus is my passport. And there's no criminal record on me. Because God looks at me, He sees the photograph of Jesus, He doesn't see the photograph of me. He sees Jesus. He's my passport to heaven. And because of that, I'm loved by God unconditionally and unending. Unending. God says, as far as your sins is from the east and the... What will I do? I will remove them. Your sins and your iniquities I will remember no more. Isn't it wonderful to have a God who remembers nothing about our past? You know, I was a civil servant once. Yeah, I got in. It took 9 months for them to vet me, but I got in. But they drilled into my past. They wanted to know everything about me. God says, Edward, not interested in what you've done. Because I went to a cross for those things. And I'm telling you now, I will never, never, never bring them up to you when you get into my presence. Because in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy, joy. I want this morning us to realize that, listen, there were three things as we close this morning. The first thing to remember is that, listen, we were all once lost. Did you know that we were all once lost? Every one of us are in the same boat. This woman had a coin. It was lost. The prodigal, if you read the scriptures, you'll find God mentions three things that were lost. He gives three simple illustrations. He wants to tell the Pharisees and he wants to tell the people, listen, we're all lost. So first, what does she do? She lights a lamp, doesn't she? You see, in the darkness, we didn't have to do that day. We just, it was daytime when we counted the money, or when Avril counted the money. And so I was able to get on my hands and knees quite comfortably. But this lady lived in a darkened room, and in Jesus' day, they didn't have electricity. So they would have hardly any light. And so, first of all, she lights a lamp. And it reminds me that Jesus said, I am the light of the... The first thing you need to understand is that Jesus came to bring us out of darkness. We had an amazing light party. Thank you for all those who helped. We had an amazing light party. We wanted to tell people, you know, we took two bags. We didn't pinch them. Christine gave us permission. But we took two bags to my nieces, didn't we, on Friday. And we gave them to the little girls. And just said, there's a little bag of hope. But they were talking all about the darkness. They were talking about all the Halloween party stuff. They'd had all over Facebook, you know. And I love her. But, you know, she said, did you see my picture on Facebook? She had painted on. I want to ask you this morning. Are you in darkness or are you in the light? There's no middle ground. You're either walking in the light as he is in the light, or you're walking in darkness. And I know that's not your fault because you were born like that. It's called DNA of sin. And you have it, whether you like it or not. And Jesus said, I've come that you might have life. But in order for you to have life, you first of all got to admit you live in darkness. Number one priority is, she lit a lamp. Then what did she do, George? She swept it with a broom. She had to do some action. It was no good just putting the light on. Avril said to me, get on those knees and get looking for that coin. Get underneath the table. Get wherever. I don't care what it is. Find that coin. So she's sweeping, isn't she? And she's sweeping. The dust must have been coming up, you know. The dust must have been coming up. But, you know, she had to do some action. She had to sweep the place. And Christ had to come and sweep away our sin. This morning, not only do we have to understand we're living in darkness, but God had to do something. God had to. There was an action that was needed. And Jesus took that action. There was an action that is needed for this shoebox. It's all right saying to that little girl, oh, you know, we'd love to show you the light of God. Well, we are, because we're going to give you the box. Without the box, that girl doesn't know the light and love of God. It's the box that's going to make it, isn't it? Seriously. It's when she opens the box, mate, that, and she looks inside and sees a scarf and she sees all the goodies inside. That's going to bring the smile to her face, isn't it? I hope it does. The little dolly that's inside. The crayons. But she doesn't get that box. It's no good saying to her, you know, God loves you. As much as we know that that's still true. God had to send Jesus into the world. God had to send Jesus into the world. He couldn't keep shouting from heaven, I love you. I love you. God said, God demonstrated his love towards us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Have we got the message this morning? Christ died for me. But in order for that to happen, he had to come to earth. God said, I've got to send my broom in many senses. I've got to send someone who's going to sweep away my sin. Hope you understand this little simple message this morning from this shoebox that God loves you this morning. You are more valuable than that walking stick. You are more valuable than that yacht. You're definitely more valuable than a pencil. And the third final is we come to an end. She could have just given up. It said the woman searched diligently. I want to tell you, Jesus is searching for you and searching for you and searching for you. And Jesus said, listen, till the day that you die, till the day that you die, I'm searching for you. I want you. I have swept sin away. I'm diligently, we've sang it this morning, Jesus, you're calling me. Jesus, you're calling me. Jesus, you're calling me. And as long as you've got life on earth, you've got hope. But the Bible says this, after death comes the judgment. There's no hope for anybody who remains in darkness and hopes that when they get to the other side, that God will change his mind. There's not a verse in the Bible that gives you any hope at all. Friend, God says this, Jesus has power on earth to forgive sins. Jesus has no power in heaven to forgive sin, because sin can't enter into heaven. Otherwise, heaven will be full of sin. This is very serious this morning. First thing she did was she lit the light. You're in darkness. You see, people aren't trying to be lost. They are lost. They are lost. Ever been in a place and you've gone and got a Scooby-Doo where you are, and you're asking somebody, and they say, I think. I'm not sure. I think. So why not try and go down that road there? Because I think that's where it is. We're a bit silly if we take that advice. I'll have someone say, seriously, I'm going to Scooby-Doo. But you know, Jesus said, I know the way. I know the way. And not only do I know the way, I'm going back that way. I'm going back to heaven. So you see, Jesus not only knows the way, he's gone back to it. So he can take it. I'll take that. He can be my sat-nav. God wants to navigate my life. Did you navigate your life? Isn't that wonderful? God, and I'll tell you, he'll not take a left nor a right as long as you wander in the steps of God. So I hope you've got this message this morning, because we want you to know that, listen, God loves you. God knows you're lost. And I'm going to finish you. This is a true, true story. As I tell you the story of Ted Forbes. Now, Ted Forbes, this is back in 1964. The Beatles were on the scene, Jane. Pete, the Beatles used to be a group. Just in case you didn't know. While walking down the street in Chicago, Ted found a wallet. Now, being an honest Christian, he wanted to return it to its owner. So he looked out for identification. The wallet contained just $3. Just $3. No driving license, no social security card, no pictures. There was nothing to indicate who owned the wallet. So deep into the inside of the wallet, a little bit more, he found an old envelope. It was wrinkled, and it looked as if it had been carried there for years. The only part of the writing on the envelope that could be read was the return address. So for more information, Ted opened the envelope. And to his surprise, the letter was dated June the 6th, 1924. It was a Dear John letter. It was written to a man named Michael. And it was written from a woman named Hannah. She explained that she loved him so much. She'd always loved him, but her parents had forbidden to see him anymore. Ted Forbes wanted to locate the owner of this lost wallet, so he drove to the location listed on the return address. He parked his car and he walked up to the door. A woman answered the door, and Ted asked if the lady knew a man called Michael or Hannah. He was told that 30 years ago she had purchased a house from a family whose daughter was named Hannah. So perhaps that's the Hannah that he knew. But anyway, Hannah had placed her mother in a nursing home just a few blocks down the street. So Ted thanked the woman and went down to the nursing home. He explained the story to the nursing supervisor. She told Ted that the lady he was trying to find had died. However, she gave him the telephone number where he might locate Hannah. Calling the number, he learned that Hannah was not living there anymore. The person answering the phone said Hannah was now in an apartment house for the elderly. Ted began to wonder why he was making such a big deal out of trying to return this old wallet. It contained only $3 and a crumpled up old letter. But still, he kept trying to find the original owner. He finally tracked down Hannah and went to visit her at the elderly apartment house. She had an apartment on the third floor. So Ted knocked on her apartment door, and yes, it was Hannah. Tana told her about finding the wallet and showing her the letter, asked her if she knew someone called Michael. Hannah took the letter, filled her eyes with tears, and broke down as she read the letter that was written 60 years ago to Michael. She said, I'd never married because I love Michael so much. Then she asked Ted if when he found Michael, he would tell her that she still loved him. It is his wallet. So Ted thanked her and left Hannah. And as he was walking down the apartment, the janitor who looked after the building saw Ted with the wallet in his hand. And he said, hey, stop that a minute. That wallet's very, very familiar. And so Ted says, yes, I'm looking for Michael. He said, well, I know where Michael lives. He said, Michael lives on the 9th floor of this block. So Ted went up to the 9th floor, rang the doorbell, and said, are you Michael? He said, yes. He said, is this wallet yours? Michael looked at the wallet and said, yes, it is. And he opened the letter and read the contents, and he said, that happened just so, so long ago. Ted says, Hannah is on the 3rd floor, and she still loves you. She never married. Michael said, neither did I. I'm 79 now, and I never, never fell in love with anyone else but Hannah. Ted says, do you want me to take you to Hannah? And so Ted takes Michael, to Hannah, and they look at each other. One is 79 and the other is 76. And they embraced each other like teenagers. A few weeks later, Ted gets an invitation. We would love you to be Michael's best man. And they lived, they got married, Hannah and Michael. Ted celebrated being the best man. All for $3. It is a true story. All because Ted never gave up. He swept the broom. He searched diligently. He never gave up. And two people enjoyed a few years of married life together. Friend, God wants to share an eternity with you. He's lit his light. He swept the sin away. He now searches diligently. I wonder if you're going to be like Ted. I wonder if it's going to be a happy ending. You're worth more than $3. Can I seriously ask you this morning, how much are you worth? How much are you worth? I want you to close your eyes. I want you to really, really ask yourself that question this morning. How much am I worth? What value do you put yourself? And I've answered the questions. How much are you worth? Beyond price. What value do you put on yourself? You are loved by God. And do you think this matches God's value of you? Yes, 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 1,000 times yes. God wants through a party for me. He wants to do the same to you if you don't know him this morning. And if you do know him, he wants you to know that love has not changed. That love has not changed. If you want to know Jesus as your Savior this morning and know that love, it's simple. It's recognizing that Jesus came, has taken away your sin, and is searching that you might come to him. Just say this prayer, Father. I thank you. Jesus died for my sin. I ask you, Jesus, to forgive me for my sin. I invite you into my heart. I thank you because I have asked. I have received in Jesus' name. Amen.